What is it that you hope for your children, for your grandchildren? There's a handful of the graduates who'll be graduating next week here at the parish for a blessing this morning. Parents of those graduates, what do you hope for your children as they head out in the world? That we're filled, and I know you are, with all sorts of good hopes for your children, for your grandchildren, for yourselves. But what is it that you hope for them above all else? This feast that we celebrate today, the ascension of the Lord into heaven, where he is seated in glory upon his throne in heaven, it's a feast, everyone, in which Christ, he transforms our hope. He transforms our hope in this feast. Because the apostles who are with him, they're with him and they don't quite fully get it yet. They worship as they see him, but yet they doubt. And they ask him too, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Their hope, even in this 11th hour, is still one which is very much an earthly hope. They're wondering and they're hoping that the Messiah will take his physical throne in the city of Jerusalem. But Jesus, what he does is he transforms that hope. That it's a hope that is not based in this earth, but one that is based in heaven. And that Israel itself, what Jesus does is he transforms and he fulfills it. Just as you and I, everyone, you and I, in Easter and through our baptism and continually through our lives, it's this process of we die to ourselves and we're reborn as sons and daughters of God the Father. That we become, in other words, as St. Paul says, a new creation. In our baptisms, we become a new creation in Jesus Christ. So, the Israel of the Old Testament, it becomes a new creation in Jesus Christ. It becomes the kingdom which is the church. And Jesus Christ is transforming their hope from being just an earthly hope that heaven is going to send a Messiah and that he'll raise up and do all these great earthly things into a heavenly hope that is based in Jesus Christ in heaven. And a hope in the kingdom that he establishes, which is in heaven, but also on earth. It's the kingdom which is his church. He is the head, and that the body, all of us, hope to go where he has led. All of Easter, in fact, you know, these three great feasts in the season of Easter, they're meant to emblazon in our hearts the graces of our baptism. You know, when we receive baptism, we receive the graces of faith, hope, and charity. And the three great feasts of Easter is the Easter octave, right? Ascension, and then next week, Pentecost. And that Easter is meant to emblazon in our hearts faith that Jesus Christ, he's conquered death. He has conquered it, and he is alive. That is faith. Today, the feast of hope, in which we're able to look and to see where it is that we were created for. And that hope, that light of heaven, that we might reflect that in this world as well, with our hope set firmly in Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And then love itself, who we receive next week in the Holy Spirit. God the Father and Son, they send love. The Holy Spirit, which fills our hearts and impels us to go out and to bring others to the heart of God the Father, to bring them to him. But it's the church here on earth, the kingdom alive, in which is meant to be reflected the hope of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you look and you say, okay, Now you just lost me, Father. Because you're telling me, if I want to like see hope, the hope that's meant for us in heaven, in this earth, I'm supposed to look to the church. That's a hard sell. And it is. Because the church is filled with all sorts of fallenness. But to look to the church and to look to where Jesus Christ is alive, as the church has always pointed, is to look to her saints. Always look to the saints of Jesus Christ alive in his church. The saints who have gone before us, and those, everyone, that we are called to become. Because the apostles, they're hearing this gospel in these readings, and they don't quite get it. They don't fully get it. This is us, though, as well. A good test, it's a good test always of like, where is my hope based? Is to look to the saints and to really dive into their lives or to hear about their lives. And what does that do in my soul, in my heart? You know, the saints look great in stained glass. They're great in terms of like, oh yeah, the patron saint of finding lost things or this or that. But when you dive into their lives, you find something much more. Someone who's a dear friend of mine, we lived in the city of Rome for 4 of the years that I was there. I never met her in this life, but I've become a dear friend with her in the next. I've shared about her life with you before because she is a dear friend. But you would look at the life of this woman who is on the way to becoming a saint. She's a servant of God. And you would look at just the basics of it, and you'd say, okay, what's my response to it? This woman is 28 years old. She'd been married less than 4 years. She lost 2 children right after birth. And then she had a child, and a year later died of cancer, leaving her child and her husband. Looking at that just through the eyes of earthly hope, what's the response to that? It's awful. It's nothing but a horrible tragedy. Infinite sadness. How could someone be that cursed in life that they go through all of that? That's if we're looking at it, everyone, through the eyes of earthly hope. But to see it and to go deeper into her life through the eyes of faith and a hope which is based in heaven, and to see her life for what it truly is, which is one that is filled and consumed with the love of God himself. This changes how we understand the lives of the saints, and this one in particular. Chiara Corbella and her husband, they themselves, and what I love about it is they're so real. And I feel a close connection because she was literally born 1 week before I was. And she and her husband, they dated, and they fought, and they were engaged at one point. Guess what? That engagement broke off, but then they reconciled. And in the middle of the engagement, they went on this retreat, and they both had this really significant and real conversion. Their hearts were converted. And they were married in September of 2008 in the town of Assisi, because it was with the Franciscans who they were with when they had this huge conversion. And you can imagine all the hopes and dreams that a newly married couple has. Deacon Stocker today, he and his wife, they're celebrating 60 years of marriage. 60 years. Do you remember 60 years ago all the hopes and dreams you and your wife had? Maybe Josie more than you did, I don't know. But you're filled with all these hopes, and that you might have children, and you would see the fruit of it as you guys do, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. And those are good hopes, everyone. They're good hopes. But nothing we'd ever hope for is that our children or within our marriage, that there'd be suffering, that there would be pain, real deep pain, that there would be tragedy. But what is the ultimate hope of marriage? What's the whole purpose of it? For you and your spouse? What is the hope that you have above everything else for every child that you're blessed with, even if it's a child who you hold in your womb, even for the shortest time? What is your hope for your children above everything else? Kiara and her husband Enrico, they were married, and within months they found out that they were expecting child. And as you can imagine, they were just overflowing with excitement and joy. And one of the first checkups, as the pregnancy was going along, they were told, this child that you're carrying, that it will not be able to live beyond maybe a short time outside the womb, minutes, an hour at the most. So they pressured her and they told her, you shouldn't put yourself through this or that child to end the pregnancy. And they said no. They said no. And they carried the child to term. And within minutes after the birth, the child was baptized, and they held that child for like 40 minutes until it passed from this life into the next, and they placed the child in God's hands. They didn't close themselves off from life and soon became pregnant again. And the same thing midway through the pregnancy, something different actually was wrong with this child, where they said the child will not live for very long outside the womb. They carried the child to term. The child was born, baptized, and then placed into the hands of the father. And you would think if a couple like this, right, was just living with earthly hope, what does that do to them? What would that do to you? If all you have is this earthly hope, or if that's even just your main hope, you're like, yeah, I believe in God, Jesus, heaven, all that. But that's kind of secondary. That's this literally sky in the pie stuff. If all you have is an earthly hope, you're crushed by it. But this couple, and this is where I first heard about them when they were both alive, they began traveling because their pastor and the Franciscans asked them, and these little poor Franciscans, they make their living off of begging, and so they ask you and beg you. It's hard to say no to them. It's kind of like the handmaids and stuff. They ask you, and it's really hard to say no. And so they asked the couple, they didn't want to, but would you share your testimony with others? They didn't want to, but they were encouraged. Please do, because you have no idea how many couples struggle with this. And so they did. They started going, and they would share their testimony. And Kiara would say how, even though that their hearts were crushed, she said, what more could we have possibly hoped for our children? What greater thing could we have ever hoped for them in this life than that they would be saints, and that our family would have two saints already in heaven praying for us? What hope they give us. What hope that they give us that we know two people in heaven. They did not close themselves off from life either. And soon again, they conceived a child. And of course, they're excited but nervous. And as the pregnancy is going along, they go in for the checkup right in the middle of the pregnancy. And they say, the child is great. Everything is going as should be going. Everything is healthy. But it's you who are sick now. And that she had a cancer. And they said, the best thing we can do is we can beat this cancer, but we have to start the aggressive treatment now. And they told her what that would mean. It probably would mean they would start the treatment and the child would be miscarried. And she had said, no. We're choosing life for this child, and we're going to do everything to bring this child to this earthly life. And they did. And in May of 2011, little Francesco was born, healthy as can be. And immediately they started treatments on Kiara. And after a couple months, it became clear that the cancer was going to take her life. And she spent many of the last months of her life in a hospital room. Right there, there's a little hospital on an island in the Tiber River in Rome where she was at in her final months. And the people who had come to her, everyone, this is where, just to see with the eyes of heavenly hope, the people that would come to Kiara in her hospital room, they would leave and they would be astounded. They said, she has this hope and this joy which is not of this earth. There's something within her that's radiating from her, which is not just some optimism or putting on a strong face for her family. And on June 12th, 2012, she passed from this life to the next. And her life has become, very much in Italy and more through the rest of the world, a source of immense heavenly hope for all those people who struggle with these same things that she and her husband had as well. But with faith, losing a child, struggling with cancer, struggling in all the different ways that humans do, but doing so in a different way because they're holding on to a hope that is not of this earth, but a heavenly hope that fills them with a joy that cannot be explained, with a light that is a reflection of heaven itself. Graduates, as you guys head out into the world, if you're heading out with primarily a worldly hope, it's going to eventually, and I promise it will, it'll become disillusioned. You'll become disillusioned and even bitter and sad with the world that you're heading into. But Christ desires something more for you. He desires to transform your hope into being one in which it is filled and emblazoned with a heavenly hope, so that your lives aren't ones of disillusionment, but instead they become a reflection of Christ himself in this world, a reflection of his heavenly light and his joy, and that you become saints, which is the highest hope of anyone. The world without God is, as Pope Francis said, a world that is infinitely sad. And it can only be transformed by an infinite hope. A hope that comes from Christ in his kingdom. And a hope, everyone, a real hope, a hope that's alive, that we're called to reflect in this world as saints and nothing less.